Are you glad to be here this morning? Well, I'm glad you're here. Those that aren't at the beach, it's a holiday weekend, huh? Pastor Bill felt odd this morning because he usually preaches most of the holidays, and I said, yeah, something's wrong. We don't have the holiday preacher today. But I'm glad you're here. I believe God's got a word for us today. I'm just going to finish up in John chapter 4, so if you want to go there, we're going to talk again about coming to the well. And, you know, this story really, again, as I said last week, kind of just impacts me. Because here's this woman at a well, a Samaritan lady, that the Samaritans and the Jews don't have anything to do with. They have a differing opinions on where to worship, how to worship. Sound familiar today about God's church? Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. But it really has, because you see, her life changed that day at the well. She encountered Jesus. And, you know, the story is just so great. Look in verse 10 of John chapter 4. And he came to the well, and he had come to the well, and she was there, and disciples had gone to town to get some food or something, and he asked her to give him a drink. And of course, she knew that was something odd about that, because obviously she knew he was a Jew, and something just wasn't right about that. And she said, why would you ask me for a drink? Jews don't have anything to do with us Samaritans. And in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You know what he's saying there? Jesus is saying, if you'll come to me and you'll just ask me, come into your life, if you'll just ask me for salvation, if you'll just ask me for forgiveness, I'll give it to you. I'll give you living water. I'll give you, that living water represents his spirit. He said, I'll put my spirit in you and you'll be changed. And that's what he's saying to us today. And I ask you the same question he asked her. Do you know the gift of God? Do you know the gift of God? The gift of God is Jesus. We're going to celebrate that gift today in communion. But that's the gift of God. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Verse 19. The woman said to him, and this is right after Jesus had spoken a word of knowledge to her about her six relationships. And see, she'd been drinking out of the same worldly well her whole life, trying to quench the thirst that was in her heart and in her soul through relationships. And Jesus had spoken a word to her, a woman he had just met, and said, you know, he had told her to go get her husband. He said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the sixth one, the man you're with now, is not your husband. In verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. See, there was the dividing line, so to speak, between the Jews and the Samaritans. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Jesus was a Jew. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Now, when you You look at that, and that's what I want to talk about just for a couple of minutes this morning. Worshiping in spirit and truth. But Jesus said, in verse 19, she said, you know, I see you're a prophet. Our fathers worship in the mountain. Your Jews say it's in Jerusalem. But Jesus said to her, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You see, what Jesus was saying is, it's not where you worship. It's how you worship. Jesus is saying that the time's coming and now is that you will not worship on the mountain or in Jerusalem, or you can worship either place, but you will worship in spirit and truth. In other words, you can worship anywhere you are, but you must worship in spirit and in truth. And I want us to kind of get a hold of what that means this morning. First of all, God is not limited by time and space. You know that? God is spirit. He's not limited by time and space. Thank goodness. And when someone is born of the Spirit, that is, having received Jesus by faith, they can connect with God anywhere, anytime. At church, at home, doing the dishes, making the bed, at school, sitting at your desk, in the grocery store, at work, anywhere, anytime you can connect with God. Because He's Spirit. And when you receive His Spirit, you have a kindred spirit with Him. You see, Spirit, listen to me, Spirit, amen. She's saying, preach it, brother. Spirit is the opposite of what is material and earthly. Jesus makes worship a matter of the heart. It's not the form. It's a matter of the heart. It's spirit. In spirit, he says, the time is coming when true worshipers, and you need to get this, true worshipers will worship in the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit is referring to the level at which true worship occurs. Okay, what are you saying? We got to climb a ladder? We got to stand a certain way? No. Again, it's in the spirit. It's in the spirit level. It's in the spirit realm. In other words, it's not with our flesh, with our head, with our mind. It's with our spirit that we worship. That's the level God wants us to get to. Worshiping Him when we come in here. In the spirit. With our spirit. Connecting with His spirit. Not worrying about what song is playing. If the lyrics are upright. Or if we like the music. Or if what's going on around us or next to us. It's getting in level of spirit. It's a level to worship Him in truth and spirit. It's all about Him. It's all focusing on Him. It's when our spirit connects with His spirit. It's when it's coming to God in complete sincerity with your spirit focused and channeled by the Holy Spirit. Now he says true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. Truth is in harmony with the character and the will of God. And in this scripture here, truth is worshiping God through Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. See, truth is characteristic of God. Truth is characteristic of God. It's manifested in Christ. And it's endowed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's imparted through the Holy Spirit. In other words, true worship takes place with the truth of the Father, God, revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, the Word, and received through the Spirit, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit teaches us truth, reveals truth to us, and draws us to God. So, let me ask you this. How do you approach worship, especially in church? Now, I'm going to make you squirm a little bit, probably. But just relax. It's a fair question. How do you approach worship when you come in here? I'm just going to talk about church today since we're here. Is it mechanical or ritualistic? What do you mean by that? Well, do you always sit in the same seat? Ouch. That was for me. I stubbed my toe. Do you always go through the same motions? Do you just kind of watch and let the worship team do the worship? Is it mechanical? Ritualistic? Just become habit? You come in and you do the same thing every Sunday. You sit, you stand, you listen, you leave. Do you try to follow others' leads? Maybe see how they're worshiping and do what they do. Are you conscious or are you overly conscious of what's going on around you? What somebody's hair looks like or what kind of clothes they got on or what they're doing, if they're on their phone texting. Are you conscious of what's going on around you too much? Or are you concerned about what others think? You know, I think a lot of times, I love watching people worship. Sometimes I just walk to the back and watch you guys. Because I just love watching people worship and connect with God. But it's kind of funny. Sometimes I watch people over time as God begins to free them to worship. You know, there's a lot of people in here that's got a little Pentecostal in you that you don't want to let out. But, you know, I've watched people over time, you know, want to lift their hands to God, which is scriptural, by the way, lifting up hands to God. And they'll start here. Maybe they'll get here and those elbows are planted and they can't get loose. And eventually they get up. And it's just watching God free them. You know, He wants us to just worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, a lot of the songs we try to sing, we try to be careful not to make it about us, but that the songs that we sing, the lyrics are about Him. Because there's so much today that's all about how we feel and what we want. But no, it's about Him. So how do you approach it? You know, I believe all these things that we get concerned about, the ritual, the mechanical things, what's going on around us, what other people might think, are things that try to steal true worship from people. And it prevents us from becoming true worshipers. And I'm not saying that you can't worship God just by standing there. If your heart's connected with Him, you can. But if the Holy Spirit is channeling you in another, it's something far beyond that, you need to let Him do it. Don't resist the Spirit. True worshipers, Jesus refers to. He says in verse 23 that, and this is real important. In verse 23, He says, there's a time coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Those are the kind of worshipers God's seeking. True worshipers. Not people that give Him lip service. But true worshipers. The Father seeking people who worship Him in spirit and truth, so if we can just plant that truth in our hearts that God is seeking true worshipers. If we just plant that in our hearts, I believe it will free us up to become true worshipers. You see, when true worship takes place in the presence of God, His Spirit is free to move and to be in us, in people. Bringing salvation, bringing healing, bringing deliverance and transformation, empowerment and freedom to just worship Him. And all those things, that's an atmosphere. It creates an atmosphere that God moves in. The Spirit of God moves in and healing takes place and transformation in people's lives take place. Jesus gave His life so that we could have those things prevalent in our lives. Amen. Healing, deliverance, transformation, salvation. Jesus died for those things so that we could have them and not only prevalent in our lives, but given us a lifestyle that honors our Heavenly Father. Amen. You see, the church is missing this because it lacks true worshipers, and I say that the church at large. Hold your spot there in John 4. If you'll turn forward over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to say it, but I want you to see it in the Word. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is Spirit. God is Spirit. The Lord is Spirit. Jesus is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom." Get that. Look at that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's liberty. That's what God wants us to do. That's how we become true worshipers, is being free in His Spirit, allowing His Spirit to give us that freedom. So I want to ask you today, if you'll begin to pray, will you begin to pray and ask the Lord to help you to worship in spirit and truth? You see, when God does this, when God's people does this, it creates an atmosphere where the Spirit and truth come together. And when Spirit and truth comes together, bam, Hallelujah. Things happen. Lives are changed. When Spirit and truth come together, when God's Spirit and God's Word comes together, lives are changed. Amen. Lives are changed. John 4, verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." Now I want you to get this. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." I who speak to you, Jesus said, "I'm Him. I'm the Messiah." You see, the woman knew about the Messiah. She said, "I know He's coming." She knew, you know, she was in a state where she could say, "I know about Him." But then Jesus revealed Himself to her. And now she knows Him. You see, there's so many people in churches today that are in that state. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. Many people spend their life in church, knowing about Him, but never knowing Him. It's called religion. You see, Jesus wants a relationship with you. Religion will not get you to heaven. Only a relationship with the Messiah will get you to heaven. Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. She went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" She shared with people what happened to her. She shared with people her experience, what the Lord did in her life. And as a result, many others were touched by the Lord. And guess what? This is exactly what God wants us to do. When God touches your life, He wants you to go touch somebody else's life with it. Amen. Not go beat them over the head with the Bible, but just share what God's done in your life. You know, that's the most powerful witness there is. Amen. You know, you can say, "You got to do this, you ought to do that, or don't do that, do this, don't do that." And people can argue with you all day long. But when you say, "The Lord did this in my life," there's nothing to argue about. Amen. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to share what God's done in our life. Look at verse 39. "And many of the Samaritans of the city, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified." Underline "testified" in your Bible. Testified. Because of what she said, what she testified about Jesus, many believed who He was. And so When the Samaritans had come to him, they all came back out of town because she said, he's at the well, come on. They urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days, and many more believed because of his own word. Many more believed because they were in his presence. Do you know that's why it's so important to worship in spirit and truth when you're in church? So that when people come in that don't know Jesus, the word will testify to them, and they'll believe because of his presence. And many more believed because of his own word. Come to the well. Come to the well. Come to the well. Jesus is saying, come to the well. Jesus is saying, I am the well. Come to the well and begin drinking living water. That creates an overflow out of your life to others. That's what Jesus said. When I give you this living water, it will become a well, a spring of living water, welling up inside of you and overflowing. Let's pray together. Close your electronics and your Bibles, and let's just go into a time of prayer. I want you to know something. I want you to just focus on Jesus. Again, like I mentioned last week, Jesus sitting at the well. And imagine you're sitting at that well. You're standing by that well with your bucket. And maybe your bucket's filled with all kinds of things of the world. Maybe your bucket's filled with anger. Maybe your bucket's filled with deceit. Maybe your bucket's filled with a broken heart. Maybe your bucket's filled with unforgiveness. Maybe your bucket is just filled with all kinds of junk. Once you come to the well, your life will never be the same. Jesus is saying, pour it out. Leave all that stuff behind. I have what you need. But you keep searching. You keep dipping that bucket in the well and bringing up junk. You keep dipping in the world. You keep bringing up junk in your bucket and drinking that stuff. He's saying, I've done all the work. But you keep on working. You're running on empty and you can't find the answer. He's saying, come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing the things that are missing, but that empty inside of you will never be filled till you come to the well. Nothing can satisfy. The world leaves you high and dry. Come to the well, and all who thirst will thirst no more. Everyone who searches for what their soul wants, what the world can't fill, will find it at the well. Jesus is saying, bring me your heart. It doesn't matter how broken it is. Just come right where you are. Rest in my arms. It's like that little baby rested in my arms. He wants you to rest in his arms. Let me change you when you come to the well. And once you drink from the well, once you come to the well, your life will never be the same. Once you begin drinking living water, the Spirit of God will become an overflow in your life that deepens your faith and empowers you to break free from the things that have haunted you for years. You begin to walk in victory, not defeat. You'll take authority over the devil, over sickness, over discouragement and deceit. You'll have a stronger love for Father God. and for the things of God. The things of the world would begin to fade and pale and lose their appeal. Your marriages and your relationships will begin to heal and get healthier. And those things in your life will begin to spill over to others as the living water becomes a spring of life in you. You'll begin to experience the peace that passes human understanding, no matter what's going on in your life. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we all want? I know that's what Jesus wants for us and for His church. So they're going to share a song with us for our time of prayer. And I just want you to allow God to free you up this morning. Allow God to free you up in whatever it is. Maybe you need prayer for healing. Maybe you've got a health issue. Come and let us pray for you. Maybe it's other things going on in your life. Let Him set you free. Let's pray. Let's take authority over these things. Stop letting the devil beat us. Come to His altar of forgiveness and love and healing and hope. Prayer partners, if you'll move around.